here at the Legacy Seeds booth at the KMOT Ag Expo. And as you've been listening all day, or as you usually listen to Ag News 890, you know all that. So, hey, let's talk about some of the things that we've been hearing about up here. The guys who grow barley up here, malting barley, they're kind of scratching their head what to do, because visited with a guy yesterday who goes, he grows five different crops. He grows canola. He grew fava beans, sunflowers, spring wheat, and barley, and a couple of field peas. But he doesn't have the option of a barley contract because there are just none available. So let's visit with Scott Anderson of Cebus about that situation. So what's the solution to that, Scott?
Well, we have some canola contracts available.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a simple solution.
Yeah, we still have a supply of seed, and for now, it's a good option to look at, actually. We know there's a lot of undecided people, just like last year at this time, just depending on what kind of program they've had in the past. Some people do the same thing they've always done. Other people are always looking for something different.
And one of the last times you and I were around, we were talking about growing canola over around, in the lakes area of Minnesota, and we got a guy who was interested.
Yes, there's people. I talked to somebody yesterday by Pierce, South Dakota, who's considering adding canola. He's never raised the crop. He's dead serious about it. He knows he's got to do something different, and he's willing to haul it up to North Dakota.
Go to Cargill and get that premium.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but the stereotype is we think we can't grow canola south of Highway 2.
There's canola. Southwest North Dakota has become a real stronghold, actually. It's become one of their best-yielding crops. One of the reasons, I think, is because they can take advantage of early-season moisture, which they almost always have. They never really know if it's going to dry out in July or not.
Yeah.
We've been in a wet cycle since Mount Pinatubo blew up and Devil's Lake started to fill up, and you remember that, when that was a marked change from those 5 years of drought we had.
And then two decades, the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah, and so the rain really helped, as we talked about before, triple jackpot on some farms, just the traditional wheat, soybeans, and corn in eastern North Dakota. They hit all record yields on all three.
Yeah, last year was a great year.
Yes, it was. Yeah. There were some areas that had way too much rain, but overall, somebody said rain makes grain one day, and so one farmer's drowned out is another farmer's higher yield.
Yeah, but also rain makes pain if you live in northeast North Dakota.
Yeah. So we have canola contracts. We have a new canola that's very competitive weed control-wise for costs relative to our competition. It's we get non-GMO, non-transgenic premiums, and our seed cost is very reasonable, and the yields are good. We have our own breeding program. We're a U.S. company based in San Diego. This is really our second good field year with enough canola to sell to the broad public.
Yeah, and we've been talking about Cebus non-transgenic SU canola for about 3 or 4 years on Ag News 890.
Yeah.
And now this is really the launch year for you. Huh?
Really is. We've broadened our distribution a little bit. We our handling facilities. Cargill's added Berthold up here by Minot as a handling facility, where they'll consolidate the canola and ship it to West Fargo. West Fargo's a destination. We also have Olson up by Langdon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a consolidation point handling facility that we'll be able to get it to West Fargo. And so West Fargo generally has the highest canola price in the region.
And the reason, they are a sunflower seed crushing facility, a soybean crushing facility, but they love this Cebus canola because it is non-transgenic. They don't have to refit and clean out the plant for a week before they do canola.
You're exactly right. Well, they can do anything they want with it because they can crush it as generic if they have leftover. They can identity preserve it and then sell it into those markets where the consumer is demanding something that says it's non-transgenic on the label.
Yeah.
And people think everything's GMO, so everybody has to take GMO. worldwide, only 11% of the arable land is in GMOs, and the rest, most of the world is not.
Right.
And they have a different opinion about it. So if the customer wants something and they're willing to pay for it, it's like a restaurant. They'll usually serve people what they're willing to pay more for so they can make more money and stay in business.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, that's a great analogy. No price established NPE contract. Tell us a little bit about that.
The contract is the kind that your lender would want to see. Buyer's call means that Cargill will call you when they want to know, but they have different time periods where you can agree ahead of time to bring the canola to them. Mm-hmm. They just call you when they're ready for it. But it's a no price established, meaning they can sign a contract to grow the canola, and they have an act of God clause up to 1,500 pounds. What that means is they can agree to ship them 1,500 pounds, but not at any one price. It's usually price as delivered. Or they can lock in a price if they want to keep a floor. One of their competitors, ADM, actually just came by our booth and said, we're trying to convince growers to actually lock in some of these forward contracting prices, because nobody really knows where markets go any one year. And he feels for the volume of canola that's out there, it's underpriced early. So I don't know. It just depends on what they want to do. They can sign a contract for all of it or just some of it, or just wait till delivery. A lot of growers will wait till they deliver it to get the price and so on. It just depends on their preference.
Well, it seems like the price of fuel and fertilizer goes up the longer you wait, so I guess the price of canola can too.
It might
benefit you to wait.
It could, but if the price went down, you would have been better off signing something. And you know, a lot of these contracts, the buyer go, gee, I wish I hadn't assigned that contract because I'm paying more for the canola than it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to have it upside down every once in a while, wouldn't it?
For a change, yes. Yeah. Boy.
So that's just a thought. But and also it's a full production contract. So if a guy did get, say, 2,500 pounds, we've had some yields up to 3,000 pounds. If they had a 1,500-pound act of God, Cargill's agreed to take all the canola at that agreed-upon price, or just take it, period, pay them what they want at harvest if that's how they set it up.
Yeah.
But it's a full production, and if they couldn't deliver because of an act of God, meaning hail, drought, bugs, lack of stand.
Right.
I've seen all kinds of things where heavy rains have prevented things from emerging and
2 weeks of rain at harvest time. That'll do it.
Rotting in the swamp.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. Yeah.
But there, Cargill, like or canola, like all other crops, does have some diseases, and there's got things that you got to. But the diseases that are, seem to be up there in the northern end of the Red River Valley. So get down here in the southern part of the valley or western Minnesota, and might be some disease-free years.
Well, there's everyone should know we have a good seed treatment on there that has good early season diseases. There's always almost, and all our varieties are blackleg resistant, which is a requirement from a lot of lenders, and insurance companies have blackleg protection almost anywhere.
Okay.
And then, of course, they always look at, they don't want to rotate canola after sunflowers or vice versa, because they can harbor white mold and some of those things. So anybody that does get rain at flowering time when the petals are dropping on the axils of the leaf is subject to white mold. Sclerotinia, same thing that plagues sunflowers to death, can happen. And people, when they realize that we've got a great university system that sends an alarm out to everybody telling them they should put a protectant spray out there, systemic protectant for white mold. But there's some years where everybody that was told to, that they'd be in their interest to spray for white mold and didn't, was sorry.
Right.
Because the scientists are pretty good at predicting this.
It's
many years of research.
So, and simple calculations.
But again, that's a prescriptive spray. They can put it in their budget. If they don't need it, they don't have to use it.
And so there's things to learn, things to talk about, money to be made. So how do guys get a hold of you, Scott?
Well, we have good distribution out there. Talk to your retailer, or you can call me directly, and I'll help you get our seeds. Scott Anderson, 701-238-0655.
Gotcha. All right. Scott Anderson, Cebus SU Canola. It's pretty exciting. Like I said, we've been talking about Cebus SU Canola for about 3-4 years on Ag News 890, and time to take a look at it, guys. So, all righty. Scott, great to visit with you. Safe travels home.
Thank you, Mick.
All righty. All right. We're going to take a break.